It happened one day when the world felt a little too loud. Not the kind of loud you can step away from, but the kind that finds you anyway. A news story, another one, and then a name that stopped me in my tracks. Sometimes it's internal, a swirl of thoughts, memories, and emotions that don't settle easy. Even as I began to heal, as the pressure in my chest slowly started to lift, there were still moments when something would catch me off guard. A memory, a thought, a question that never found an answer, and suddenly I was right back inside it. On days like that, I've learned not to fight it. I go outside. Sometimes I take my nature journal with me. Sometimes I just take myself. That day, I brought my sketchbook and headed to the local nature center. The air felt different the moment I stepped onto the trail. Quieter, softer, as if the world was asking a little less of me. My thoughts were still there, but they didn't feel as sharp. I walked slowly, not really looking for anything in particular, just moving, breathing, letting my body catch up with itself. Because the truth is, some of what I carry doesn't just disappear. I still have friends who are teaching, friends who feel stuck, years invested, pensions ahead, systems that don't always support them the way they should. I understand why they stay. I understand the weight of that decision in a way I didn't before. And I also understand what it took for me to leave. Teaching was my second career. My path gave me a little more flexibility, a little more room to step away when I needed to. I'm grateful for that, even as I hold space for those who don't have that same option. There are still days when my mind drifts back to moments that didn't feel right, to leadership that didn't lead with care, to systems that asked more than they gave, and sometimes to the students, one in particular, a child who should still be here, a life that ended in a way no one can explain. Every so often, his story surfaces again, a quiet headline, a passing mention, a reminder that no answers have been found. And when that memory rises, it doesn't ask permission, it just arrives. Those are the moments when I need something steady, something that doesn't ask me to solve anything, just to be. As I walked that day, a single chickadee landed on a branch above me, tiny, round, curious. It didn't stay long. But it stayed long enough, not to fix anything, not to answer anything, just to quiet the noise, even for a moment. Nature had offered me a still point, and my pencil simply said yes. I stayed there for a moment, noticing how something so small could hold so much. Nature journaling teaches us to listen with our senses, to notice what's in front of us, and to hold it gently, without needing to resolve it. I'm learning that some things don't need to be fixed to be cared for. You don't have to be an expert naturalist or botanist. You only need to observe the curve of a stem, the warm gold of afternoon light on bark, the way shadows shift as clouds roll by. Nature journaling doesn't need to be about accuracy. It just requires your attention to detail. It invites you to slow your gaze, to soften your expectations, to let curiosity lead. Every leaf, bird, bloom, or pebble becomes a small wonder waiting to be witnessed. Your body responds to nature with its own kind of remembering. When you take your sketchbook outside, whether you're drawing, painting, or simply jotting notes, your breath deepens. Your shoulders ease and lower. Even your heartbeat steadies. The rhythm of your pencil or brush matches the rhythm of the world around you, slower, more gentle, more present. Being in nature while creating art signals to your nervous system that you are safe, connected, and grounded. It is one of the simplest, purest forms of embodied calm. So, what if your pages became a place to honor the small things you've overlooked? What if a single leaf could become a moment of grounding? What if sketching a bird became an invitation to breathe deeper,